right. Hey.
Good morning, Paige.
Good morning, Carol.
We've just finished listening to Frank and Sam and Sandy and the experiences they've had and their both their learnings and their affirmations for the whole process that's been several years to where we are today at Locust Solid Waste. And you, Paige Reed, is with us today, and he is the chair of the managing board. There's a governing board, and that's the council, and there's a managing board, and that is the Lopez representatives that actually literally manage the dump. So, Paige, tell us how this wild ride's been for you.
Well, thanks for having me, Carol. It's good to be here. It was indeed a wild ride, but it settled down to a steady motion now.
I think it's kind of a gallop, wouldn't you
say? A little bit of a gallop, yeah. And it's walk and run and ride for crazy. It's all of the above. One of the things that I want to start by mentioning is a couple of news items. First, as everyone knows, the election coming up, the solid waste district has to do a new levy every year because the state constitution says so. So expect to see that on the ballot every year, every November, for renewal of the solid waste levy and adjustment of the amount if necessary. So last year it was $100,000. This year the tax levy is $115,000. And the biggest question I get is, why has it gone up? And the answer is our garbage volume went down from 540 tons we thought we'd get to 420 tons. And that's good news and bad news. The good news is Lopezians are creating less garbage as they recycle more and more, and we're headed toward the possibility of zero waste down the road. The bad news, of course, is as garbage volumes decrease, our fixed costs stay the same. We get less money from the ticket booth where you pay $8 a can, and we need more money from the tax levy to offset the decrease in garbage. So it is a very simple math on that. And I want to emphasize next year, 2014, that this tax levy is all about when you vote for it next month is still going to keep garbage at $8 a can. It's not going up to anything above that.
I'm just reminding you, Paige, they're not going to vote for it next month. Well, I guess it'll go into next month, but they're going to vote for it in October. You could vote for this tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Absentee
today.
Ballots.
You could vote for it
absentee
today.
Ballots are in. When did they go in the mail, Carol?
Tuesday.
Okay, so you're going to get your absentee ballot in a day or so and can send that in at the latest election day. So that's the update on the tax levy. The numbers really haven't changed much. If your property is worth $250,000, you're going to pay $28 for the solid waste district in 2014. The other big question we get is, what if the tax measure fails? And obviously, we would have to raise garbage from $8 to who knows what. Could be as much as $12 or more to cover the loss of revenue from the tax levy. Obviously, we'd have to consider eliminating free recycling, which we have now if you separate it. And it would, of course, halt any new programs we're doing. So that's an update on the tax levy. And the last thing I want to say about the tax levy is, don't confuse County Prop 1 with the Lopez Solid Waste District Proposition 1. They're both Prop 1. The Lopez Solid Waste District Prop 1 is the one that we're talking about today.
One other thing I know that you said was important to mention, Paige, was last year the tax levy was $100,000, and this year the tax levy is $115,000. It's not on top of. It's $15,000 more than what the levy was last year.
Right, right. So it's not $200,000 or $215,000. It's $100,000 for 2013. We already did. You already passed by 85% back in the election late 2012. And the $115,000 is for 2014. It is what you're going to be voting on when you get your ballot in the mail as soon as today. So, Carol, having talked about that, I want to go on and mention a couple other new pieces of news. Effective today, we start the early bird limited service of 8 to 9 a.m. We're going to be open 8 to 9 a.m. for 1 hour each dump day, so that's Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday. And please note, it's only for garbage and commingled recyclables. Those are both free items, $8 a can for garbage, $5 a can for commingled recycle. And you can still do mixed paper, corrugated cardboard. Those are both free, and that will be 8 to 9 a.m. That means the recycling plaza for plastics and all the other good things we separate will not be open during the 8 to 9 a.m. hour, and the take it or leave it will not be open during the 8 to 9 a.m. hour. This is a trial basis in response to contractors and others who want to get their truck empty in the early morning so that the truck is not tied up until noon when we open. Of course, our normal dump hours are still noon to 3, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, in full service. So that's the news, all the news that's fit to print at the dump right now. But
let me interrupt with one more thing. I just want you to know this about this managing board. They're all volunteers, and as was mentioned in Frank's interview, the whole business plan rests on volunteers. But when I went to make an appointment for this interview, Paige said, well, how about we make, I want to be down at the dump when the new hours start, so why don't we make it later in the morning? And so Paige, that's the kind of managing board you have. You're going to see them at the dump holding meetings in the with the community, and really hands-on, putting tons of their own volunteer time into making this the successful operation it's already become.
Carol, it's really a pleasure to work with the people that have made this a success as well, and we want to mention first and foremost the Lopez community that voted for the dump last year and got us started, gave us the boost we needed. And of course, the 85 volunteers that spend countless hours volunteering their time, wearing the orange vest, both at Take It or Leave It and up at the Recycling Plaza. And finally, the board of directors that I'm a privilege to serve with, Sandy Bishop, Bruce Kreps, Dan Post, and Larry Eppenbach, a top-notch group that come from all different walks of the business world as well as the nonprofit world. And really, with their diversity and yet their commitment, they make this managing board work. So that's the who. You asked me a question about what's the ride been like, and I think it's been a wonderful experience to work with the people and take the Lopez dump from where it was to where it is today. And today it is everything that all the Lopezians who use it are well aware. It's garbage, it's recycling that you can separate yourself. You can pay to commingle recycling if you're in a hurry. And it's the take it or leave it, part of the one of the most important items of the entire Lopez facility. One of the fun things that I want to mention is not only do we do the obvious, the garbage and recycling and take it or leave it, but we get to try new programs because we're a small organization and we can move fast and efficiently and fine-tune what we're doing to meet the needs of the community. And the 8 to 9 a.m. early bird hours are a great example. That's a trial program we're going to do through December 31st, and then we'll look at the expenses of it and the revenue from it and make sure it makes sense for Lopez. The new e-waste program is a great example of a way in which we can do a new program in an innovative way and take advantage of the existing structure. The e-waste program is run by the state of Washington, and it allows for free disposal of televisions, computers, monitors, laptops, portable DVD players. And that means we don't have to smash to smithereens old televisions in the dumpster by crunching them with the backhoe in order to make the load more dense so that we can efficiently haul less air on the ferry to Skagit to the disposal. Plus, TVs don't have good things in them for landfills. I believe it's mercury, but I could be wrong. There's certainly some bad things inside the old glass TV tube. So the e-waste program that we are joined up on in the last couple of months is a great example of how the community can pull together and take advantage of existing programs elsewhere and make them part of Lopez programs help the community, help the environment. So, hope that answers your question, Carol. What does it bring to mind next?
Okay, well, I'm really curious about, because I know you've worked on the what people call the Z-wall. That's where you back your car or truck up and you dump it in the back of a large, whatever you call those things, trailer.
Yeah, 40-yard boxes.
Yeah, and you've also worked on up on what's called the recycling plaza, and you've worked at Take It or Leave It. So what's it like to work at all those places? And hopefully you're hearing this with the eye of, maybe I'd like to be a part of this.
You too can put on an orange vest. Now,
yes.
There's my pitch. They're all different experiences. The Z-Wall, helping people that need some assistance with heavy trash cans, is very satisfying. The Take It or Leave It is also very satisfying when people bring materials that might be useful to someone else for a second life, in the spirit of the Take It or Leave It. If you don't need it, leave it. If you need it, take it. I am going to take this opportunity to run over a few things we accept and a few we don't accept, because what we don't want to do is generate garbage that costs the facility and thus the taxpayer and the community paying for garbage. We accept clean, unstained clothing in good repair, shoes, serviceable household goods and furniture, means they work, tools and hardware, small appliances that work, toys and games that are not broken or dirty, books, commercially made DVDs but not homemade DVDs, and of course, we already mentioned the e-waste items, TVs, computers, laptops, monitors, and portable DVD players, not fixed DVD players. What we don't take, well, to finish on the e-waste, we don't take printers, keyboards, mice, and modems for the e-waste program because we don't get reimbursed for those, but we do take those items, and I'll go over them again, printers, keyboards, mice, and modems, if they work. We'll put them at Take It or Leave It, and hopefully they can find a new home. If they do not work, stay tuned. We're coming up with a program for your electronics that don't work, that do not fall under e-waste of TVs, computers, laptops, monitors. A great example, stereo speakers, printers, as I said, keyboards, mice, and modems. Cordless phones, boy, do we have a ton of those. So stay tuned, we're working on a program for that. You've come to expect that kind of innovative change from Lopez at the dump. And I'm gonna now rattle off a series of things that I'm sure you know we do not accept at the Take It or Leave It. No liquids, no fluids, no household hazardous waste items. Incidentally, the household hazardous waste program roundup will still happen every spring, usually in April. It's usually free, was last year. So save your household hazardous waste for once a year for the household hazardous waste roundup. Other stuff we don't take, I'm sure you know, wet or moldy or dirty or stained clothing or books, items that don't work or that are damaged beyond use. Appliances, light fixtures that don't work. Home-recorded DVDs, home-recorded tapes we don't take because we have to pay to throw them in the garbage. We don't take large out-of-season items. Artificial Christmas trees in February just take up space and prevent Lopezians from getting to get other stuff when there's not enough space that they may have better use for. And finally, we don't take open containers of food because we don't have any way to hang on to those. So that's a quick rundown of the Take It or Leave It, what we take and what we don't take. I want to now answer Carol's question about what it's like to be up in recycling. Boy, that's fun. You know, the first few months back in January, February, and March, we were learning by leaps and bounds. As Neil loves to say, we were crawling out of the ooze, learning what worked and what didn't. And what we found is that everybody, including the volunteers, had to learn all the different categories of recycling, and then they had to convey that to people by helping them figure out where to put that plastic bottle or where to put that apple container that was clear plastic or the clamshell that was used for takeout, but of course it was rinsed and cleaned at home. And remember when we used to do steel cans and had to crush them, and we don't do that anymore. We found a simpler way to handle it so you don't have to crush the cans. We had to educate ourselves and then try to help everybody else sort out their recyclables. And now I'm happy to say at month number 10 of business, most people know what goes where.
Mm-hmm.
There's still confusion with what's a neck and what's a no neck, and I'll take this opportunity to pitch anything with threads is automatically a neck. That goes in the bin that says necks, plastic containers with necks. anything that as the best example is yogurt containers are a no neck, and those two are still the biggest point of confusion. But everybody's got it figured out for the rest. And stay tuned. We're about to change from you having to separate your glass into the three colors of clear, brown, and blue, green, yellow, into not having to separate the colors at all. All the colors will get mixed together coming up soon. Stay tuned for that. We'll certainly make an announcement when that comes. So it is fun being up in recycling. And the more we all learn where stuff goes, the more the volunteers can turn their attention to more complicated recycling, like scrap steel, or scrap steel that's not 100% steel. It's 50% or more steel, but it's got some plastic, some rubber. Hey, a bicycle is a great example, and a microwave oven is a great example. They both are more than 50% steel by weight, and yet we have one bin in the back corner marked steel, the other bin marked 50% steel. We also call it bulk appliances. That's where something like a bicycle or a microwave would go. And of course, as some people know, way in the back, we also do non-ferrous metals, which means brass, copper, aluminum, and stainless. So there, that's probably more than you want to know, Carol, about what the experience is like.
That you learn a lot of categories. Well, you know, as you speak too, I'm struck by the two words that were so essential in the presentation from Frank and Sandy and Sam. And the words that come to mind were when they talked about synergy and innovation. And as you're talking about, and I don't know, you probably said stay tuned maybe five times. That's innovation. The other language Sam used was lightning speed. Really, honestly, this continues to evolve at what one could call lightning speed for a full public involved, volunteer managed solid waste facility. It's changing all the time. And I know sometimes that's difficult for customers because the thing that didn't work last week is working this week. But it all has to do with really trying to find a place for everything that you might have. And the other word is synergy. The other thing I forgot to say is this is another real example about how solid waste works. Sunday morning, Sandy Bishop went to Bellingham, picked up the signs, came back, left on the early ferry, came back on the 12:30 ferry, and went back to her office and her business. This morning, right after the Wednesday morning, right after the first opening of the dump, Paige called me and said, I'm going to be an hour late because I'm putting up the signs. So, and those are two board members. I just want you to know that the board and the staff and the volunteers at the Lopez Solid Waste are doing so many innovative and unusual things that you could never write in a job description.
That's true. It'd be very tough to write a job description because we all do a lot of different things, and yet we all bring our expertise. I think a great example is Bruce Krebs, who's our chief financial officer and really does an outstanding job at the two major aspects of being a chief financial officer. When you're also the worker bee, you got to be the bookkeeper. He actually writes the checks through the county. And at the high level, Bruce understands what we should be spending our long-term funding versus short-term funding on in terms of capital equipment versus day-to-day expenses. He has experience with that. He has a grasp of it better than any other board member, and he's really an outstanding member of the board because of that contribution that he makes to being chief financial officer. At the same time, you'll see Bruce wearing an orange vest running around the recycling plaza, helping out in the pay station. And yeah, that's just a great example of how each of the board members does their specialty and pitches in the other half of the other hat they wear, doing general tasks that anybody, any one of us could do. It's a great combination.
Yeah, it's quite an amazing. I mean, really, I like the word, keep using the word startup. This is startup business. It's a nonprofit, so it's a little bit different than a entrepreneurial startup, but it's a nonprofit. It had a history, but the history was very different in terms of the business plan that's operating now from what we're doing now. And it's innovative, and the people that come together, and that would be you, as both the voters and the volunteers at the dump, are what make this work.
It is. It's very much a volunteer powered, and we see that expression around the internet, but it's very much a volunteer powered organization that is a pleasure to be part of. It's hey, I want to back up 1 minute,
yeah,
Carol,
sure.
Before, in case we run out of time. I mentioned the team, meaning all Lopezians plus the 85 volunteers plus the 5 board of directors. But I left out a couple of the most important pieces of the pie. Neil Hansen and Bob Chonka are, of course, key members, and that's who you voted for. And also the Solid Waste Alternatives Project, or SWAP, the nonprofit half of the entire dump operation. And so if my information for the tax levy sounded like just the facts, ma'am, just the facts, that's because it has to be the district is not allowed to campaign for or against an issue, and I certainly didn't mean to do anything other than provide facts. So the nonprofit part of us, Solid Waste Alternatives Project, or SWAP, is definitely campaigning for the tax levy, Lopez Prop 1, not the county Prop 1. So you'll see lots of yes information coming out from SWAP. So,
yeah, and there's a website people can go to, right?
Yes, lopezsolidwaste.org is the district's information clearinghouse and has lots of good archives and background. And SWAP has their own website, and I can't remember the name of that right now, but it will have information urging you, not just presenting facts on the levy, but urging you to vote yes on it. So,
all right. So I'd like to know a little bit, if Frank mentioned the synergy of this team coming from really different disciplines, and you're the entrepreneur on the team, and so what is it? What, tell me, what is your business, and how did that come about?
Well, I manufacture a safety product for boats and have done so for 19 years. The name of my business is Emerald Marine Products Corporation. The product is a small radio transmitter you wear on your jacket or your foul weather gear, and if you fall overboard off of a boat, it sends automatically a radio signal back to the boat, where a receiver that I also manufacture picks up the signal and sounds a loud alarm. And the third product that I manufacture is a direction finder, because at nighttime or in fog, it's not enough to know someone's over. That may be 50% of the battle, but you've got to locate them. That's the other 50% of the battle. So the transmitter, receiver, and direction finder have been 90% of my waking hours for the past 19 years. And it is a one-man business, so it helps me contribute to the dump project by bringing to bear what any one-man business brings to bear. You've got to pay your bills. You've got to at least break even, if not make a profit, and you've got to account for, as Bruce Krebs says so wisely, not only what each individual product costs you and brings in for revenue, but you got to cover your overhead as well and profit if you're a for-profit. So
yeah.
That's the contribution that actually a number of the board members who have been small business people or one-person business. Bruce was involved with the company down in Oregon named Burley that makes bicycle trailers. Almost every bicycle trailer that you've seen, and by bicycle trailer, I mean the little trailer with two bicycle wheels on it that's towed behind a bicycle that carries kids or groceries.
Yep.
Burley is an American company that's been in Oregon for years. I believe it's gone through changes and may not be the small startup that Bruce was involved with, but it was run as a co-op. So Bruce's background comes from a firm rooting in the small business world.
Yeah, and as a co-op.
We all know Dan Post owned Lopez Freight for 25 years and has managed to make a living with the freight business on a small island as a one-man business for many years. A lot of people don't know that Dan is also a commercial fisherman. And that's certainly a one-man business. So again, the entrepreneurial spirit and the understanding that you got to pay your bills and cover your overhead as well as the individual revenue and expenses from a product.
The other thing I know, because I see them down there all the time and know from board meetings, the freight business is really a part of solid waste business is freight business. You're taking stuff
it really
away
is.
all the time. Truckloads.
And it is. We can't emphasize it enough in our budget that a huge amount of our expense in dumping the garbage is not just what we get charged with the huge 40-yard container once it gets to the Skagit dump. That is only part of the equation. Getting it on the ferry and paying the ferry fees, paying the diesel fuel for our truck to and from, paying the driver to drive the truck to and from the Skagit dump, that's all a huge part of the cost of garbage on an island. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we gave a tour the other day to about 25 solid waste professionals from all over Western Washington. Frank Mulcahy and Sam Gibney brought them over. And they had several observations. One is they don't have the expense of the ferry and the time of a driver taking the truck on the ferry. They are all up and down the I-5 corridor and or they're near rail lines. So getting rid of their garbage and sending it to the Roosevelt landfill for a 700-mile round trip is does not involve the expense of the ferry and the time on that. So it is very unique to be on an island and have to take your garbage to the mainland. It is it's got to be a big part of the budget. You got to factor it in.
Yeah, well, and it's certainly useful to have someone who's been in the freight business for 25 years on this island.
Absolutely,
having done that.
You bet. That's invaluable.
Yeah,
it really is.
Absolutely,
Dan is invaluable, and so is Larry Eppenbach. His background varies from the big organizations where he was the assistant treasurer of the state of Alaska and then later the investment officer for the state of Alaska at a period when Alaska was able to put a lot of attention into investments because of the money they were getting from oil. And Larry ran that department for the state of Alaska. So he has seen what it's like to accomplish things with big government. At the same time, a lot of people don't know Larry has his own company manufacturing and selling a net product for camping. This is a product that basically extends your tent with netting so that you have a little more room outside, but it is protected from bugs and mosquitoes just like being inside the tent. Wonderful product. And
I didn't know that.
No, yeah, that's the other side of Larry. And, of course, we know Sandy Bishop's been involved in nonprofits and community leadership, community service here on Lopez for many, many years. So everybody on the board comes from a different background and brings a different, unique contribution to it.
Right.
But, of course, everybody, we all do common things, too. You know, we all take out the garbage.
That's a really good one. I'd like to say, too, that Sandy also was an entrepreneur and that she started the Lopez Community Land Trust 20-some years ago. It just wasn't there, and when Sandy worked at it and got the 501c3, it's been there ever since. And she's managing, of course, because of the housing component, million budgets with $1 million signs on them. And because there's four large, quite large sites with 7 to 8 homes on them.
Pretty
so
impressive.
It is. It's every single person. And I can't say enough about Dan and the perspective he brings, having been born here, gone to school here, been in the military. We got 3 military guys on the board. And his just common sense, down to earth, fix it, make it work, and get on with it.
Get her done. That's
that's
one of Dan's
really,
expressions. Yeah.
I really, I invite you to come to the board meetings. They're open. They're interesting. You should find out how our money, your money, mine, our tax monies are being managed in such a responsible way. Thanks so much, Paige. I really appreciate your time today. This is like your 3rd or 4th venue, starting at probably 7:30 this morning, I would guess. You were at the dump site. And I had just shared this with Paige, and I'm going to kind of close out with this quote. And to achieve great things, 2 things are needed, a plan and not quite enough time. And for those of you who've been involved in great things, and the dump is certainly one of them, that fits.
Sure does, Carol.
There is never quite enough time to do all the things you imagine, but somehow it still happens, and there's always a plan. What are we going to do next, and how are we going to get there? And how much will it cost, and where is the money going to come from? Those are the main questions for anything I've done in my life.
And they apply to the dump as much as any business.
They certainly do. Well, once again, I really love talking trash with you, Paige. It is my favorite subject these days. And this is Carol Steckler on KLOI 102.9 LPFM, Lopez Island, Washington, and Community Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in to this series of Talkin' Trash, and they'll all be archived on the KLOI website. You can go to kloi.org and look at on archive, and you'll see these listed by who the interviewer are. There's, I think, now about 7 interviews with different people connected to trash. So Talkin' Trash has been a pleasure. Thanks so much, and good day to all of you.